بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. When any good work starts off, you will have two types of oppositions. One is the enemy from without, and the other is the enemy from within. The enemy from without, it's easy to defeat, to break. It's not a difficult thing. Each person has a degree of enmity and hatred for the enemy that is from without. Dislike him, want to break him, you want to hurt him. Somehow or the other, you want to humble your enemy. One is that enemy is visible, and the harm that he causes also is clear. You can see the harm, and the enemy himself you are able to see. So that is the enemy that is from without. But the greater problem lies in the enemy that is from within. Now, those enemies that are from within, they are of two types. One is your own brethren, and they will criticize you for the good work that you are doing, any good work. Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, in the madrasa, you have different categories of people. One class of people you will find the most difficult work in a madrasa, he says, is the work of fatwa. Because every situation is different. Changing times, different people, changing situations. You know the masla and you know the answer, but now in his situation, how do you address that masala? Unique situations you'll get. Like I was saying a few days ago, one person complains he had a neighbor, and that neighbor was good looking, and he began to have lustful feelings towards his own neighbor, male to male, man to man. The neighbor didn't know that this person's intentions were corrupt until one day he made some advances. So the neighbor was really disgusted, really upset about the whole thing, and he refused to speak to him. So now this person is worried that my neighbor doesn't want to speak to me. We are childhood friends, and now he doesn't want to speak to me, and he's asking a question, what must I do? Can I make dua for him? Must I send him some gift or what? So I tell him, it's your safety and his safety that you'll stay apart. Because if you're going to try to narrow the distance and the gap, that old feelings will again spur up again, and you want to make advances again to that person. So just greet him from the distance and just leave it at that. Don't try and narrow the bridge. So one is the type of criticism that you'll get from within your own ranks. And that is not an easy thing to overcome. Imagine you're going out for gush now. And one person turns around and tells you, oh, right, you came to come and preach to me, Remember those days, what we used to do together, where we used to go and all that. Today you came to preach to me. The criticism from within is not an easy thing. It's a difficult thing. Now you got your head buried in shame, and you still have to give him the dawah, you still have to invite him. So it's quite a difficult task. And even if he did not criticize you, you thinking, oh, I'm going to his house for gush, or it's my turn to give the talk. Right? It's a Wednesday, and it's my turn to give the talk. And amongst the audience are those people with whom we all did everything together, everything we did together. And now I have to give a bayan to them. How are they going to take it? How are they going to receive me? So the criticism from within, that's a very, very difficult one. It's not an easy one. To overcome that hurdle, it's a difficult one. So that is the one type of opposition that's from within. The other opposition that is from within is the nafs and the shaitan. Now they too are even worse. Because إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ. Both can see you whilst you cannot see them. Nafs is watching you, shaitan is watching you. And they're after you. After your blood, after you, they want to eliminate you, they want to break you. And you can't see them. So now that enemy that you cannot see, and you do not know his conspiracies, you do not know his conniving nature, his treacherous behavior, now that enemy is very dangerous. Because, number one, you can't see him. Number two, because you cannot see him, after some passage of time, you feel there is no enemy that you have. Those thoughts that come to you, you begin to become a prey to those thoughts. You do not even realize that those thoughts are being injected into your system from shaitan and nafs. Right? You see, now, this must happen like this. This person, I must put him in his place. I must fix him up. I must show him. Whereas these feelings and these suggestions are being injected into your system by shaitan sometimes, and sometimes by your own nafs. Now, the fact that you cannot see them, that makes the nature of this enemy very, very more difficult. The first enemy was easy. You'll quell him, you'll defeat him, you'll down him. It's not a difficult thing. And even if he defeats you, even if he kills you, you become shaheed. Right? That's the first enemy. The worst scenario is he'll shoot you down, he'll kill you. If he does kill you, if he pushes you down, you become shaheed. Not a problem. But this enemy that is from within, nafs and shaitan, if you become a victim of that enemy, then your abode is Jahannam. If the nafs put you down and had the better over you, or the shaitan put you down and he had the better over you, then what's your end? Your abode is Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala says in these words, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. Practicing deen and remaining firm upon deen, this is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we need to accept it and acknowledge that it's a great blessing and we need it. And we don't think that we are indispensable. Nobody, indeed, nobody is indispensable. Nobody. No exception to the rule. Nobody is indispensable. You move out, there's someone to replace you. Everything would run. The masjid would run, madrasa would run, maktab would run, everything would run. When you think that, no, you're indispensable, how can things work without you, then you got the wrong end. It is Allah Ta'ala's deen. As long as He wants it to flourish, He will make it flourish. You will be just used, you will be one of the circle in the whole system. In the whole system, you'll be just one circle. You know, bicycle chain, this one circle, you know. So you're just one person, one element in the entire system. The entire chain, you're just one element. If that element breaks, snaps, that element can be replaced. So that's your position. And you think that you are indispensable, without you how things can work out, then you go the wrong end. So, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَعِيمٍ. There's two types of enemies. The enemy from without and the enemy from within. And as I say, that enemy from within is much more dangerous than the enemy from without. The enemy from without, you can see him and you can quell him, you can crush him down. From within, you can't see him. أَعَدَى عَدُوبِكَ نَفْسِ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. That's why it said that the worst enemy is your nafs. He is within you. بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكَ. He is within you. And you can't see him. And he is conspiring, he is planning, how must I get this person? How must I push him down? How must I crush him? All the time, that's the work of nafs, that's the work of shaitan, to push you down, not to let you progress. You want to progress and they're pushing you down. You want to move and they're pushing you down all the time. So how to push that nafs and shaitan down and move on? That's the difficulty. That enemy that you can see, you know, he's on the way, you know, kill him, you know, push him out of the way, you know, eliminate him. But that enemy that you can't see, you feel, well, it's not an enemy. These are thoughts that are coming to me and these are valid thoughts, right thoughts. I must go by these thoughts that come to my mind. See? So the only way to salvation, to security and protection, is to hold to the hand of someone who will take you to the shore of salvation. See? When we come into this world, we're in this fix, we're in this quagmire, we're in this problem. Now the way to salvation, the way to protection, is to hold to the hand of someone who is able to take you to the shore of salvation. That's the only way. Of your own, you can't do it. Eh? Of your own, you can't do it. Allah Ta'ala is the saver, isn't it? We all believe that. You're drowning. Don't you shout for help? If you are drowning in the beach, in the sea, do you shout for help or not? You will call for help, you will ask for rescue, SOS signals you will send up, something you will do, right? So, adatan, you cannot come to the shore of safety without asking for rescue and for help. Right? Similarly, as with respect to hidayat, guidance, salvation, you cannot come to the shore of salvation and guidance without someone's assistance. You need that assistance. This is the tarteeb of Allah Ta'ala. In everything it works. It applies in everything. You got a heart problem, you have to go to someone. You say, no, let me try and fix it up myself. Try and make surgery. All right, it's only artery. The artery got blocked up now. What the big story they're making now? Let me cut some things here. Take out the artery. Something got stuck there. So let me take it out. Put some Jace fluid or something and clean it up. Huh? Right. Does it work? Doesn't work. It doesn't work. Allah Pak's system is you have to go to a surgeon who specialized in that. Then they'll put you into anesthetics and put you out and then they'll examine what's your problem, how to replace that. All that big checker you'll have to go through. Now you think to yourself, it's such a small thing that when the thing, the drain gets clogged up, just put some waste fluid or something and clean it up. So well, same thing, you know. Why? What is this big thing about? So that is qiyas ma'al fariq, you see. It's the wrong type of analogy. That analogy is not right. Here, qiyas shahid ala shahid is not working out. Your qiyas shahid ala shahid is not working out. So can you imagine now, qiyasu shahid al ghaib, how much more batil it will be? When your qiyas al shahid bishahid, is false, is not working out. So qiyasu shahid bil ghaib, how much more intricate it will be? How much more difficult will it be? Understand? Things of the hereafter, you cannot reason things about the hereafter with things that you see here. They work in a different system, and the things here, they work on a different scale. It's a different scale. The whole system is different there. The whole system is different here. Right? So here, when you are in difficulties and you ask for help, any type of difficulty, you ask for help. You're in problems, you'll go for legal help. Right? I got a problem with my uplungs and all that. I got some problems. Now you just rescue me. Show me how much I'm safe. I got 5 million uplung. So I must use everything. Give the government some peanuts and take the rest of it. How must I do it? So you'll have to go for legal help. You'll go to an accountant. The accountant will say, you know, fiqh law. I'm just going to report you. So he said, don't report me. I'll give you 50,000. So don't report me. So, see? All of us know these things. These things that we apply ourselves, we apply our minds, go for legal help, this advice, that advice, we all know it. And until that thing doesn't come right, our heart is in the mouth. You know, hey, they'll come and nab me just now, all that 5 million, all my halal money will be gone away. So we'll have that fikr. Sleepless nights. And all type of parishani we'll have. And we'll think now, what must I do with that 5 million? We must go and dump it, take it here, take it there. And until that is all sorted out, our mind is not at ease. Now this is for a thing that is worldly, material. We become so parishan. And Allah Pak forbid, there are so many people out here that are prepared to put the iman onto the block for money. If it is to the material loss, they can put the iman onto the block. So they so particular about material loss. Right? So they'll go to every distance, they'll go to every extent to try and save that material. Right? So as far as the material is concerned, things that we can see, we'll ask for help, we'll go and we'll apply ourselves, eventually we'll come to the shores of safety, right? So in deen, shouldn't we be asking for safety? Shouldn't we ask and hold the hand of someone who will lead us to the path of safety? Is deen now so cheap? Is deen so insignificant that we don't require the guide, the help of a person? Is it? No. Like we needed help here, we need help here. This is a system of Allah Ta'ala. You will need assistance, you will need a guide, and the guide will bring you along. You can't apply your mind. Mawlana Jami Rahmatullahi, in the olden times, after a person would graduate, then the first figure would come to his mind, how must I rectify myself, correct myself, put myself onto a path of guidance. So he had graduated and is looking out for guidance. That I've learned Hadith, the Quran Sharif I've learned, right? But now, me becoming a living example of the Quran Sharif and the Hadith, I need to learn that. Like I learned the wording of the Quran and the Hadith, now the second duty, the duty that comes after this, is myself to become a living example of the Quran and the Hadith. If the Quran says, for example, إِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا, they avoid trouble and they avoid any type of quarrels, there is a quarrel, then they very respectfully move out of trouble, salamu alaikum, and they move away. See? And the Quran Sharif says, Yamshuna al ardi hona, when they walk upon the surface of the earth, they walk with humility. Right? And the Quran Sharif says about them that إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. When calamity befalls them, they are struck with calamity, they are patient, and immediately they think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. to be steady and firm under all circumstances, prosperity, adversity, transactions, all, everything, you need to be firm, strong. So now the Quran is speaking about all this, but I don't see these colors. I understand it, I understand the tarjuma, I understand the translation. But me becoming a living example of the Quran Sharif, كَانُوا قَلِيلًا مِنَ اللَّيْلِ مَا يَهْجَعُونَ. Most of the night they are in prayer, they are in the service of Allah Ta'ala, very short part of the night they are resting. So all these colors I don't see within myself. I need to bring these colors within myself, I don't see it. So Mawlana Jami Rahmatullahi says, now I've studied all these things, but I don't see these things within my life. That humility I don't see. I don't see the type of patience that is required. That sudd that is required, I don't see. So all these qualities the Quran is speaking about, I don't see within myself. Now how do I gain these qualities? So he went out in search for some buzurg whose hands he will hold to, who in turn will lead him onto the shore of safety. So he went, he heard about some buzurg, and he went. As he comes to this buzurg, he sees that the buzurg is living in somewhat luxury, some comforts and luxuries. So he takes a U-turn and he says, Dost aana bayad ke dunya dost darad. That cannot be the friend of Allah Ta'ala who holds the dunya close to his bosom. He's living in this type of comfort and luxury. He can't be a friend of Allah Ta'ala. So he takes a U-turn and he comes. And we'll find awliya ikram in different ways. Some will be living in comforts. You'll see them dressed nice, well dressed. They're living in wealth. They're living in comfort, in luxury. That's one class of buzurgan ad-din. Right? Like Sulaiman alayhi salam. He's a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala has given him kingdom. Attendants, hundreds of attendants, he's got thousands, he's got jinnat under control, he's got the winds under control, he's got the animals under control. Okay. So he's got a mighty, mighty kingdom, and he's got control over all his different creations, he's got control over them. Right? So some buzurgan ad-din are a reflection of Sulaiman al-Islam. He had wealth, he had power, he had influence, so they are a reflection of him. And many a buzurgan ad-din, they don't have wealth. Or if they do have the wealth, then they prefer living a life of austerity with little wealth or no wealth. You see, Rasulullah, wealth was pouring onto him, but before the night can fall, all that wealth is distributed. Wealth is coming and it's gone. It's coming and it's gone. Not that Rasulullah was poor and he was struck with poverty, no. But he preferred that life of poverty. The wealth came and he had given it away. Bahrain, that amount of wealth that come, loaded animals that come, and he asked Bilal radiallahu anhu, go and distribute it. Until it's not distributed, he doesn't feel that ease within his heart. Now that wealth has been distributed, now Rasulullah feels that ease within his heart. So some buzurgan ad-din are a reflection of Sulaiman al-Islam. Some are a reflection of Rasulullah, that he did not love to be in wealth. Allahumma ahyini miskina, let me live a miskin, a destitute, let me die as a destitute, and let me be risen amongst the destitute. So some prefer this life, and some prefer that life. Right? It's Allah Ta'ala who makes a decision for that individual. Understand? We are not here to decide what is better for who. Allah Ta'ala will decide, right, this individual, it's better for him to be amongst wealth and wealthy people, and this person amongst poor people. This person, he'll live a life of austerity, this person will live a life of comfort and luxury. One friend of mine, he's late now. So say some 15 years ago, when these Khanqa systems and all, 15, 20 years ago, when these Khanqa systems and all started off, in other words, people began to identify with it even more. So he liked that class of Buzurgan Adin who preferred a life of austerity, little of the wealth, little of the comforts of the world, etc. He would prefer that, some struggle, some striving. I told him, see, you respect all that Buzurgan Adin. So long as they are adhering to the Sunnah, the way of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they are not doing haram, they are not eating anybody's wealth, they are not misleading anybody. If they are leading a life of comfort, then you don't despise them, don't look down upon them. It is Allah Ta'ala that is taking the decision for him that he is living amongst wealth. See? And he's making a decision for you as well, that you prefer this type of life, austerity, less wealth, etc. So you are inclined towards one type of life, he is inclined towards a different type of life. But the common factor in both is you are not indulging in haram, not leaving out any obligation and faraz, not omitting any sunnat, you are not looking down upon any Muslim. So that's a common factor. These are the main things, you got that together, you got that the same. It's identical on your side and his side. But just that he is amongst wealth and wealthy, and you amongst poor and poverty. But don't despise him. So it couldn't come to his mind. Then one day he came here, from Overport he came, and he's crying. He says, you know, yesterday I seen that I was in Medina Munawara, and we were just before the Rose Mubarak, and people are going to meet Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And you know those people that I was despising and all that, I seen a whole row of people. There were two rows of people, right? One row of people were sitting on sofas, and they were sitting quite comfortably, and they also waiting to meet Rasulullah SAW, and we were all queued up. The other row was all queued up, and they're on foot, and they're coming, and they're meeting, and they're leaving. So I told him, that's the answer to your problem. That these people are also meeting up with Rasulullah SAW, but in comfort. And you also meeting Nabi SAW, but with a little bit of difficulty and striving, struggle. So for some people, Allah Ta'ala has preferred one method. For others, He's preferred another method. You don't despise them, and you don't ask why they're going on that method, why they're going on that path, and why am I going on this path here. For you, this is better. For him, that is better. Now, we go and see and compare ourselves to those people in India, Afghanistan, who go through all the type of difficulty. Right? And one day we go through that difficulty that these people go through. For 1 month after that, will be lights out. One day of that difficulty, that mujahada that they're going through, it will be lights out for 1 month after that. So you can't handle that degree of mujahada and sacrifice. So you got a lighter version. You're also going on the same end, but you got a lighter version, and they got a weightier version. Their version is more intense and more difficult. But all of us are going in the same direction. Direction is the same. We're not eating haram, we're not doing haram, we're not breaking the law of Allah Ta'ala in any way. We're not despising and looking down upon anybody. But all of us are in that same direction. So when we're in the same direction, then we aren't allowed to despise anybody. And we are required to respect each other. We look at that class of people, we'll respect them. And they will look at us and they will respect us as well. They will not despise us, nor will we despise them. كُلَّن نُمِدُّ هَاُولَاءِ وَهَاُولَاءِ Allah Pak favoured them in one way, favoured you in another way. He's favoured them also, He's favoured you as well. So Jami Rahmatullah says that I saw this Buzurg and I saw a lot of wealth. I was turned away. I took a U-turn, came into the masjid and slept away. But I see, in my dream I see, that it's the day of Qiyamah, and I'm short of some sawabs. In order to enter into Jannah, of course, I need some sawabs, I don't have it, and I'm short of that sawab. Now, I'm parishan, running from one end to the other, I need that little bit of assistance to enter into Jannah. In the meanwhile, I see that Buzur coming, and he's got a lot of following, and a lot of pomp and glory he's coming with. These are plains of the Qiyamah, the Maidan of Hashar, everybody is assembled. I am on one end here, and this Buzurg here is in a different end, and he is in a lot of pomp, glory, and a lot of happiness and cheer all around. They come pass by me, and they see me, I'm in a state of Pareshan. Say, but what's happened? So, no, this is my problem. So he commands his attendant, that, you know, you got the treasure box, just give him a couple of yours now. Couple of mine, just give it to him. He's cheered up now. He saw the amount of sawab that he required to enter into Jannah, he's got it at last. And just then he caught up. Now he feels embarrassed and he goes back. So that Buzurg tells him, what was that poetry that you were reciting? I felt even more embarrassed. The first thing is that he took a U-turn and came away to the masjid and slept away. Now the Buzurg caught him red-handed. What was that poetry that you were reading? Then how can I say that? That was my stupidity. It was my stupidity that I read that type of poetry. So the Buzurg told him, no, all right, I ask you to read that poetry. Because in the first instance when you were reading that poetry, you read it of your own choice, right? Now read as per my instruction. I am commanding you, so you read that poetry. At first you were reading it of your own choice, right? But now you'll read it as per my instruction. So he went to read that poetry. Okay. Dost na bayad ke dunya dost darad. That person cannot be a wali of Allah Ta'ala who holds the world dear to himself. He holds the world dear to his heart. So yes, that is the first part of the poetry. Now complete that poetry. The poetry completes like this. Agar dost agar darad barahe dost darad. But if he does have wealth, he doesn't keep it for his own comfort. He doesn't keep it to show off, to ostentation, to boast and be proud of others. No. Agar darad, barahe dost darad. If he has it, he keeps it for the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. If he keeps it, he keeps it for the love of Allah Ta'ala, he keeps that wealth. You can imagine now, see, if we live in one of those jundals, right? Allah Pak keep us in comfort all our lives, the way He's kept us. We are really spoiled people. Now imagine if you're living in a jundal, right? Now there is a Muslim that needs a little bit of help. Will he ever come to you for help? He will think to himself that this man himself is a broken down Johnny. What is he gonna do to me? He got ghar ka thikana nahi hai. So how is he going to assist you? And so agar darad barahe dost darad. But if he sees you living in a little bit of a comfort, your kurta is also nice, shoes also, white shoes and white socks and everything. Eh? So he said, no, I must go to this Buzurg here for some assistance. See, the car is driving, the clothing that he's wearing, the type of comfort that he is in. So this is the right person, I must go for assistance. So that poor person will come to you for assistance. Why? He sees from the outside that this man here, he's all right. So I can ask him for some assistance. Right? Right? So if he does keep it, he keeps it for what? Agar darad barahe dost darad. He'll keep it for the friendship of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's servants, they want some assistance. If I'm going to act and behave like a broken down journey, those people will be turned away from me. And those people's needs have to be fulfilled. So how do they get their needs fulfilled? I'll show those favors of Allah Ta'ala, not to show off and despise them, but so that those people will have the heart to come and ask me for assistance. I don't know who it is, what is his predicament, what condition he is, I don't know. But if I show those favors of Allah Ta'ala on me, they'll have that type of heart to come to me, to refer to me for their problems. So do you see the intention? You will pull out a Mercedes, why? And, oh, he's got a BM, so I must take out a Mercedes. But now, this person also pulled out a Mercedes. His intention is totally different. His intention is that poor chaps, they don't have that type of wealth, right? But they'll see me driving that Mercedes, they will feel to ask, right? I need some assistance, I need some help. So they'll want to ask. Right? So my intention is not to despise, to put someone down, push someone down, rather to be able to be an asset and a help to my brethren. That's why I'm living a little bit of wealth. Do you see the intention? Intention is totally different. So someone is now the reflection of Sulaiman alayhi salam, whilst others are the reflection of other Anbiya alayhi salam that did not have any wealth. Isa alayhi salam, hardly any wealth. Musa alayhi salam, hardly any wealth. Rasulullah had wealth and he gave it away. See? So some are the reflection of these Anbiya, some are the reflection of these Anbiya alayhi salam. Understand? So that is the prerogative and the right of Allah Ta'ala. Who He wishes, He keeps with wealth. Who He wishes, He keeps in a state of austerity. Right? In that whole exercise, what are we supposed to be doing? What we are supposed to be doing is not lose sight of the beloved. In whatever condition He keeps you, that's His right. That's His right, He will keep you in whichever condition He wants. This condition or that condition, that is His right. You have got two duties to do. One is not to look down upon anybody. This is where everything goes off. Whether it's the wealthy or the poor. But you look down upon anybody and you will be crushed down. Don't look down upon anybody. You don't know. What is his intention? You're not responsible for him. You're not supposed to be judgmental about him. You don't worry about that. But you see two things, that you do not look down upon anybody. And number two, under all situations, under all circumstances, your eyes is focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Right? So what we are speaking about today, by the fazl of Allah ta'ala, is that in order to come to the shore of safety, you need a hand. You need an assistance. You need some guide. And this is the tarteeb, this is the system of Allah Ta'ala, that you need a guide for everything. For your business, you need a guide. For legal problems, you need a guide. For health problems, you need a guide. For direction, you need a guide. Similarly, in deen also, you will require a guide. Okay? Like you have a guide here, you have to have a guide here as well. Now, how do you go about looking for a guide? That's a second important thing. I'll just touch on this sometime, inshallah, afterwards. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, and we'll speak about this in detail. Right? In your search, according to your need, and in your search, is this man capable of taking you to the shore of safety? Bas. Is he the most efficient person according to your need, according to your situation? Is he the most efficient person? Bas. That's enough. He doesn't have to be the best person in the world, but for your need, he is best. He doesn't have to be the best person in the world. Like, you need your basic commodities. You don't have to go to the best shop in the whole of South Africa and get your commodities from there. Do you? No. You see a shop who can see to your commodities or to your requirements or everything. You'll go and you'll see your daily needs. In fact, for most people, that is better. For most people, it is better. Because you can constantly refer to that shop. Right? Similarly, that sheikh or that buzurg, you can refer to constantly, easily. Many times, for most people, that is better. That I can refer to him, I can speak to him, and I can get my problem sorted out. See? So for most people, that is better. And so this is how we look, all right, this person here, can I get my needs? Can he take me to the akhirat? Is he the suitable candidate? Has he got, in his shop, has he got everything? He's worried, but more or less, I don't have to see now, he's the best person, a giant of a shop, a giant of a buzzard, no. But is he capable of seeing to my needs, my requirements? Let's take him, carry on. Right? Allah Ta'ala, tawfiq nasib karim.